And we'll call the meeting to order. Our next public hearing is subdivision 2022-10, Rayleigh Farm.
This is a cluster subdivision to divide 358.84 acres plus or minus into 646 single-family lots to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County. The properties are lying on the south side of Avalon Road, which is Route 302A, and the north side of Zor Road, which is Sussex County Route 48, approximately 0.28 mile east of Gravel Hill Road, which is Sussex County Route 30. The 911 address is 26433 Zor Road, 24358, 24268, and 24272 Lawson Road, Georgetown. The tax parcel ID is District 234, Map 15, parcels 3.20, 3.21, 9.00, 10.00, 11.01, 13.00, 14.00, and 15.00. The zoning district is AR1, Agricultural Residential District. And submitted into the record, Mr. Chairman, we have a copy of the applicant's preliminary subdivision plan. We have a copy of the applicant's exhibit booklet and presentation. We have a copy of the plus comments and the applicant's response to the plus comments. We have a copy of the applicant's environmental assessment and public facility evaluation report. We have a copy of the applicant's Chapter 99-9C letter and response. We have a copy of the DelDOT TIS response letter. We also have a copy of a letter from Delaware Electric Co-op relating to the ability to serve. We also have a copy of the staff analysis. In addition, we have the technical advisory committee comments, including a letter from the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division, a letter from DENREC Division of Watershed Stewardship. We have a copy of the a letter from Delaware Electric Co-op, a letter from US Fish and Wildlife, and a letter from the Delaware State Fire Marshal. I would note in total we've received 35 comments, and those comments that have been received today have now been scanned and uploaded to our electronic document management system. Thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, commissioners. My name is John Horner. I'm here. I'm a Delaware attorney. I have my bar card if you would like to see it, Mr. Wheatley. I am here on behalf of the owner, Sussex Land Holdings LLC, and the developer, DE Land Devco LLC. Also with me today is Jamie Seckler, a licensed professional engineer with Davis Bowen and Fidel. The applicant has submitted an exhibit booklet for your review that has been before you for at least 10 days. Additionally, just before this, I handed up some proposed conditions of approval for your review as well. I intend to provide a brief overview of the project, discuss the project's compliance with the AR1 cluster subdivision ordinance, as well as sections 125 ENF and 99C requirements, and the plan's consistency and conformity with the comprehensive plan. This project is known as Rayleigh Farm. It is a proposal to divide 358, give or take, acres of land into 646 single-family dwelling lots as a cluster subdivision in the AR1 zoning district. A portion of the site currently estimated to be about 163 acres, give or take, or 45.42% of the site will be open space, subject to final engineering and agency approvals. It was 162.998 to be specific. And that's on the datum table of the plan as well. Which is 45.42% of the site will be open space. The project is located on the north side of Zor Road, the west side of Lawson Road, and the south side of Avalon Road on the parcel numbers that were recited by Director Whitehouse. Currently, the property is a vacant use, an agricultural use. There's some residual farming structures that would be removed if this plan were to go through. And if approved, again, it will be 646 single-family dwelling lots, which is a density of 1.8 units per acre. The AR1 zoning permits 2 units per the 8 per acre, which would allow for 717 units on the property. And this proposed use is below density, as again, it's 646 units. This proposed use is consistent with the comprehensive plan and other neighboring uses, which are primarily residential in nature. And agricultural, and there are other residential plan communities in the nearby and adjacent areas, including Liberty, Weatherby, Independence, Avalon Woods, and Pine Lake, to name a few. The proposed cluster subdivision is superior in design to a standard subdivision, and I'll highlight specifically its compliance with those shortly. The project proposes significant amounts of open space, landscape buffers to protect environmentally sensitive areas on site, including mature forests, and a stormwater management system that will act as an amenity a natural companion to the natural features on site. In reviewing the public comments in advance of this hearing, many of the public comments centered on concerns related to the removal of mature trees as well as traffic. So I want to touch on those points before I get specifically into the compliance with 115.25 and with 99.9C. On the slide, let's see, so we'll go right here. So on this slide before you is an aerial from June of 2015. This is prior to my client having any involvement in the property. And you can see that in 2015, the property was heavily logged as a result of the prior owners of the property. Much of their business, my understanding, is centered around the use of the property as a borrow pit, as well as some lumbering and timbering operations for the use of the wood. So in 2015, this site was almost entirely cleared. As you'll see, the only areas of mature trees still remaining are located in this area right here, and then a couple little patch right here for the most part. Consistent with that, if you'll see also in the submissions, the original plan that went through PLUS review included 701 proposed units, which included units in this area of mature forest. You know, in compliance with the intent of the cluster ordinance, when my client went out and walked the site and further reviewed the site and evaluated the different trees that were out there and the size, the caliper of the trees, the age of the trees, sort of the strength of the forest, this area was identified as sort of the most environmentally sensitive feature on the property. There are no wetlands, state or federal regulated wetlands on the property. So with that in mind, the plan was revised at a cost of almost 50 units reduction in density. And the sole reason for that was to preserve that primary feature on the site, that is the environmentally sensitive area. So when, you know, to the extent there are concerns about the cutting of mature trees, I would say that consistent with the intent of the cluster subdivision ordinance, removal of mature trees is extremely limited on this site. As again, this is the one area, and then this small patch right here would need to be removed for the entrance. But the large contiguous track that would allow for use by the residents is in fact being preserved. One other concern that I'll touch on is traffic, as that is always a hot button issue for everybody. And you know, particularly in this area, many of the public comments focused on that and the rural nature of the roads. One of the reasons for this particular proposed use being done as a senior 55 plus age restricted community was with traffic count in mind. By right at 717 units with a non-age restricted unit, you would be looking at 6,180 daily trips. With the proposed use, again, being below density and being age restricted, it comes down to 2,893 daily trips, which is a reduction of almost 3,300 daily trips. So, and Mr. Seckler is going to speak in detail about the planned sort of improvements that DelDOT will require in connection with this project that will greatly improve the roads and the serviceability in that area. But certainly credence and thought was given to this plan in order to sort of minimize the impact on the roads that are there, rather than just maxing out the density with a non-age restricted community, which would impact much greater than this proposed use. So with that in mind, I'm going to touch on the compliance with the code. The project complies with the Sussex County Code Section 115.19 and the comprehensive plan by proposing a low-density single-family residential development. Specifically, Code Section 115.20 of AR1 permits single-family detached homes on individual lots. All community signs will conform with the Code Section 15.159.2. Again, the parcel is located in the AR1 district, which has a minimum lot area of 7,500 square feet. All proposed structures will comply with the height, area, and bulk requirements. Let's see, I'll go back to the main plan. Right here, sorry. We'll comply with the height, area, and bulk requirements of Sussex County Code Section 115.25 for cluster subdivisions with central sewer. This project proposes lots that, subject to final engineering, all have a minimum of 7,500 square feet, a maximum of 27,994 square feet, and an average lot size of 10,175 square feet. The proposed subdivision is consistent with the comprehensive plan concerning future land use, which permits development of single-family homes and encourages a clustering option, provided that significant permanent common open space is preserved and the development is connected to central water and sewer. Again, we're proposing 45.42% open space, subject to final engineering, and there will be central water and sewer provided by Artesian. Chapter 115.25E, the design requirements. This project complies with those design requirements for the AR1 district for the reasons that are stated in the prepared materials by Davis, Bowen, and Friedel, which have been submitted into the public record. I won't highlight everything in that for the purposes of brevity, but I want to note some the following items. The proposed cluster development complies with the community design section of the comprehensive plan. Housing types are limited to single-family detached dwellings. A forested buffer area with a minimum width of 30 feet is provided around the entirety of the property. The plan was supplemented recently. There was an engineering sort of error on the buffer that showed 20 feet in certain spots. There was always 30 feet space, so the new updated plan shows that 30 feet, and certainly you'll notice in the proffered conditions the 30-foot buffer is there and obviously intended to be complied with. No proposed lots have direct access to state to maintain roads as required by code. All lots are configured outside of regulated wetlands, as again, there are no state or federal regulated wetlands on the site at all. And artesian will provide central water and sewer. Let's see. The project complies with 115.25F for a cluster subdivision. This section requires homes to be clustered on environmentally suitable portions of the tract. There's been a lot of discussion lately about superior design requirements contained in that section. On the displayed slide, you will see the exact language in the code, and I've highlighted language related to superior design, which requires the design to be superior in the reasonable judgment of the Planning Commission to that which would be allowed under the regulations for the standard option. So often superior design gets sort of tossed about as a way to hold two cluster subdivisions next to each other, and this nebulous idea of, hey, is this one superior, is this one superior, and there's not sort of a standard that is really, when people oppose projects, they just say this kind of nebulous term, is this superior design, is this not? And so when you look at the code and it's looking specifically at what a non-cluster AR1 subdivision would require, and what I would say is, if you want to know what that would look like, I think this is probably a decent starting point to look at, except there would be absolutely no buffers on the exterior. The lot sizes would be larger, and any of the open spaces and amenities would not be required in a non-cluster subdivision. So when you look at, is this design superior, I would certainly say, you know, we're preserving large tracts of open space, including the environmentally sensitive features. The pond will be used as an active open amenity for the community with kayaking and fishing uses intended. And when you compare that to a standard AR1 subdivision, which does not have the requirements of the buffering, of the preservation of environmental features, it's certainly clear that this is, in fact, superior in design. With that in mind, I'm going to touch specifically on the elements of superior design that are in the code, just to highlight those items. Homes shall be clustered on the environmentally suitable portions of the tract. Here, again, we have no regulated wetlands. So the mature woodlands are what I've identified on that prior slide, and as you can see, the homes are clustered away from those sensitive environmental features. This is a little bit of a longer one. The requirement, open space meet the official definition of open space contained in 115.4, and it does that. The open space is beneficial to the residents. It's congregated in large open areas at the front of the property, including the large existing pond, which again is intended for kayaking and fishing. There are very few fragmented open spaces. If you, I'll go back to the plan in a minute. If you go back to the plan, you'll be able to see that really the primary tracts of open space are the large area at the front where the pond is, as well as the large forested, mature forested area, which is intended to act as an amenity for the community, sort of as a community park, usable by the residents and the neighbors, the residents of the community, I apologize. You know, specifically, the open space requirement is 30%. We're proposing over 45% open space. And the code requires that 30% of that open space be on one contiguous tract as defined in the code. And we have just under 50% of the required open space being contiguous based on the code definition. Again, the code also requires a pedestrian trail system, and that is being provided for in the plan, as well as sidewalks on one side of the road. The plan complies with 115.193E, which is, again, wetlands buffers, and we don't have any wetlands on site. Stormwater management will be done on site in compliance with State of Delaware regulations. Stormwaters will be privately maintained until HOA takes over. And stormwater management and storm drainage will be in accordance with conservation districts and engineering requirements from Sussex County. Again, removal of healthy mature trees shall be limited. I won't beat that point any further. and scenic views being preserved. The project does so. It limits back-to-back lots and provides gaps between lots, and again, it's preserving the mature woods for the scenic views associated with that, and also preserving the existing pond for, again, the scenic views associated with that. And then the last item here is the process for development that you need to show with respect to superior design, which, as I've highlighted before, we identified the lands that should be preserved by identifying those mature trees. We then designed around that, identified the developable areas, located the roads, and then the lots. So the plan is consistent with the design requirements of the cluster subdivision ordinance. And then just the last little one is there are sidewalks. So that is all the items related to the cluster subdivision ordinance and the superior design, and I just wanted to specifically highlight those because there's been a lot of discussion lately about what is and what is not superior design. I'm going to touch next just on Chapter 99.9C of the code very briefly. Again, the applicant's submissions sort of show compliance in great detail, and I'm just going to highlight a few items. The plan integrates the proposed subdivision into existing terrain and surrounding landscape. Again, there's a 30-foot landscape buffer proposed to provide for that. There's no wetlands on the property, and none of the property is in the 100-year floodplain. There are no known historic preservation sites, and there's minimal impact on natural features. Plan preserves large tracts of open space and preserves scenic views, as previously mentioned. Minimization of tree removal and vegetation, soil removal, and grade changes. Disturbance on the site is going to be minimized to what is required to develop the property, and once again, the mature trees are being saved. Screening of objectionable features from neighboring properties and roadways will be provided by the required buffer. Water and wastewater will be provided by artesian. Runoff will be directed into via the closed road section and storm drain network into a stormwater management system consisting of best management practices for stormwater treatment and discharge in accordance with State of Delaware and Sussex Conservation District standards to prevent surface and groundwater pollution. Post-development runoff will receive better treatment than during pre-development conditions for reasons better discussed by the engineering team to the extent there are questions about that. The proposed development is planned in a way to minimize erosion and sedimentation changes in groundwater levels, increased rates of runoff, potential for flooding and design. And again, the system will be adequately sized to collect and treat the runoff and be in compliance with code. It is anticipated the proposed community will cause current property values to remain the same, if not increase the values of the other properties in the areas. Community is not expected to have an adverse effect on the schools. I would often get killed for saying that, but I will say here with a 55-plus community, that's absolutely applicable, as these are not the types of residents that typically have school-aged children. If anything, it would have a positive impact due to the tax base increasing with a lack of similar corresponding young students. The large amount of open space provides for active and passive uses for the community residents, which makes the open space consistent with Chapter 6 of the Comprehensive Plan. There are two access points proposed on Lawson and Avalon Road. Jamie Seckler from Davis Bowen and Friedel is going to speak in just a moment about the proposed traffic improvements that will be done in connection with this project. And again, the project is compatible with other nearby land uses, and as previously discussed, the stormwater management system will act as an amenity with the system. And again, just to wrap things up, the plan is consistent with the comprehensive plan in its use. So if there are no further questions, I'll turn it over to Mr. Seckler to talk about some of the traffic improvements that are proposed.
Afternoon, Jamie Seckler, Davis Bowen Friedel again. I'd just like to say we met with DLDOT and we conducted a TIS, or traffic impact study, to study the areas, roadways around this proposed subdivision. And with that, we're required to upgrade Lawson Avenue and Zur Roads to local standards with adding shoulder and widening the lane widths along our frontage, as well as obviously our left and right turn lanes for the entrance on Lawson and Avalon Road. Also on Lawson, they will be repaving and doing road widening for the entire length from Zur to Avalon. And then probably as many of the residents sitting behind me know, the intersection of Zur, Hollyville, and Harmon Hills is a weird intersection in itself. Part of their improvements are to add turning movements or extra turn lanes at that intersection to provide a better, safer way to navigate kind of a tricky intersection that exists today. And as Mr. Horner already mentioned, you know, when we did the TIS as part of the superior design, you know, a by right subdivision was roughly 6,200 trips per day. And based on age restricted and reducing by almost 80 homes, it's around 2,900. So it's about 3,100 trips per day, less than what is by right here on the site. And to further elaborate on that, like weekday peak hours in the morning, by right's around 450, and it's 160 the way it sits today for trips. So that's about 300 less trips per, for the peak movements in the morning and evening. So, and with that, I'm sure there'll be some questions on traffic coming up, but anything else?
Does that conclude your presentation for the moment?
That concludes our presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, we'll see if anyone on the commission has any questions for you, and we'll start with Ms. Wingate.
You answered some of my questions I had. So probably for the engineer, please. Is there any opportunity to tie the sewer into the inland bays? Is that too far? It's only a couple miles away, isn't it? I'm thinking about the neighbors, if there was an opportunity for them to have central sewer if you did something like that.
The inland bays as far as where?
For this county.
I believe we spoke with Hans, and I'm pretty sure it's Artesian's area. So Artesian will be serving water and sewer.
But it'll all be on site. There won't be anything. You're having a pump station on site.
There will be a pump station, but it ties into a central Artesian central system. There's not on-site sewer water.
Okay.
They're all public services.
So it's going to be a force main connected into this county system?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. I would think the neighbors would be happy if some of the debris could be moved, because I was all over that site. It's got some beautiful ponds in it, and I'm really glad to see the design to save the trees, because there are some really pretty trees in that specific area. Huge. There's a lot of junk on that site, including an old boat and some trailers. So I think that's all I have for right now. I may have more later. Thank you.
Mears?
I sort of want to reiterate a couple points. So the applicant redid the design to save the environmentally impacted area and what trees were left on the property after the logging.
Well, that's correct. So the logging sort of predated any involvement in it. And when we went and we evaluated the site and we said, hey, we need to figure out what are the most sort of valuable environmental resources here. And the areas that have been logged recently, when they were evaluated, they were essentially a lot less mature given that they had been cut recently. And so we looked and we found the areas that were the most mature and environmentally sensitive and then clustered away from that.
Right. So the reduction cut the estimated vehicle trips in half too, correct?
That was mostly done by the age restriction. The reduction in density certainly did have an impact. Again, 717 is the maximum permitted density, and we're at 646, right? 646. So there is it's below density, but even from the plus plan, and you know, oftentimes what is permitted by density doesn't always fit on the site.
Exactly.
But what you see on that plus plan was 717. Or 701 on the plus plan. So it was mapped with 701 lots that would fit. And then in an effort to preserve that area, there was a loss of, you know, over 50 lots.
That's the point I sort of wanted to stress. So thank you. That's all I have.
Charles.
Yeah, just a few questions. So what percentage of the land that's being preserved that's not being developed into lots happens to be the stormwater ponds and the existing water? I know, you know, it looks like when you look at the numbers, you're preserving a lot, but you're probably preserving things you have to have these spaces for the stormwater management, or in the case of an existing body of water, it has to remain.
So the existing body of water, being the borrow pit there, it's not required to remain by code. A borrow pit can be filled in. There's a process for that. ultimately, we viewed it as an open space that can serve as an amenity. And in fact, and Mr. Seckler can speak more to this, the existing borrow pit based pond oftentimes can't be used for stormwater management. Essentially, SCD has requirements on the grade, the slope of grade, shelving, and things like that. So certainly that large pond area, which, you know, frankly, if you see that pond, it's a very beautiful large pond that will really serve as an amenity, you know, cleaning up the edges and things like that. So that is open space that, you know, could have been filled in, would have been cost effective to do so, would have been something we would have considered, no. But that's, I would say that's the point of the cluster ordinance, is to identify those sort of beautiful, scenic, environmentally sensitive features and then cluster away from them.
Thank you. There were a lot of comments about how much forest land you're clearing in order to develop the site. And, you know, clearly there's a lot of people who are concerned about preserving as much woodland as we can in the county. Your description of the site indicates that it was clear cut. How long ago was that again?
That the aerial that was provided is from 2015.
Okay, so that's regrown pretty substantially, I would think, by now, right? Unfortunately, I didn't make it to the site.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say substantial. I mean, when you compare it to the mature trees over there, which are massive, I would say, I mean, I don't want to ballpark. I mean, maybe the tallest tree in that area is 15 feet, 20 feet in the regrowth area. Yeah, and pretty small. So, I mean, it's certainly regrown some, but if you talk to foresters, and even when you heard recent comments from, you know, Department of Agriculture and other projects, not all forests are created equal is sort of the common term that they say. And that's here. I mean, ultimately, when we look at the site and how the entire wooded nature of it, and again, in the cluster subdivision ordinance, it specifically says that this won't prevent the development of wooded parcels. That's a line in the code. So we felt that the best way to address the preservation of trees, which frankly you don't see very often when an applicant reduces their density in an effort to preserve mature trees. That's why I'm very comfortable here coming here and saying this is in fact superior design, given that that did in fact happen. Oftentimes, you know, you can make a case for preservation that wouldn't necessarily have been required by the code and existing precedent.
So there's a couple of different ponds on there.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Cleared.
Further questions.
Mr. Butler. So it's clear cut in 2015, obviously. Was it reestablished in pines, or is it just natural growth like maples? And
we need you to cover the podium, yeah. Sorry.
I'm not going to lie, I'm not a tree person so or a landscaper. I don't know. It doesn't look like it was really replanted. Yeah. A lot of the ones, like for forestry, you can see that they're physically replanted, and like they're more in rows, et cetera, for logging. I don't believe a forester maybe.
Yeah, my lay opinion would be that it was just natural regrowth. I mean, I have an area next to me that's naturally regrowing, and it looks fairly similar.
But going out there and walking it today, it's kind of like the brushy undergrowth. It's almost next to impossible to walk through, yeah. Is what's kind of the
way. If it wasn't replanted, it's usually what you get.
Yeah.
And I see you're trying to help the people with traffic, two entrances, two entrances, exits, two of them.
Right.
And you're going to widen some roads, so that's a plus. I'm done.
All right, staff, anyone?
None for me, thank you.
Okay, counselor?
Just a couple. The two entrances, so they're both fully dealt out entrances, just because we've had that question come up lately, you know, emergency versus full entrances.
They're full entrances, yeah, okay. Correct.
The other thing is, you know, you've talked about, my microphone wasn't on. You talked a lot about the age restrictions because it won't impact the schools and the traffic counts. The proposed conditions didn't talk about it being age restricted.
We would certainly proffer that condition for it to be age restricted.
Because obviously that would, you know, if it wasn't in it, then it got
that
converted
would throw the TIS
to,
out.
That's it's a totally different project with different circumstances. So, all right.
Yeah, we would certainly proffer that condition.
And on the sewer, just so we're clear on that, it's artesian, but it's being force main pumped to the county. I'm just not sure there's any artesian wastewater treatment plant that's around there. It's not that that's here nor there, just so it's in the record how it's being handled.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. That's all the questions
force
I have.
Force main into the county system. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Thanks, Mr. Wheatley.
All right, sir. Thank you. If you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2022-10, Raleigh Farm? Okay, is there anyone who would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2022-10? All right, whoever gets here first, okay?
Hi, my name
first,
is...
you'll be next.
My name's Kenny Archer. I live at 22 Snow Road. I live right next to where this development's going to be built. And when I look around me, I see the people that are here. Most of these people are elderly people. And we're all going to be on fixed income sooner or later. When you start putting your housing development in, you're going to raise the price of property value. Therefore, you're actually taking the people that were born and raised here, and you're shoving us off to the side because there's going to be a reassessment next year, the way I understand it. And at the same time, see, we people that were born and raised here, the money was never here. All these people that are coming in from somewhere else, they come from, their garbage bill is our property taxes. But at the same time, when you look at what we make down here compared to what the economy or the money that the people that are coming here are bringing, they're just taking, making us go away. When you go to a local group of people that you grew up with, and the question is, where are you going to move to? Well, what do you mean? Oh, well, such and such has built a development behind me. I don't want that. And all I see is 50-tract housing everywhere I go. And all they do is they just go and just destroy everything. You're ripping the heritage right away from us, and you're throwing it right on the ground, and you're spitting right in our faces. And I don't like it. And at the same time, there's nothing I can do, and I know you're all going to approve of it, but as somebody who was born and raised here, am I against it? Yes, I am. Sorry, fellas. Have a good day.
All right, sir. Thank you. All right, you're next. No, whoa. Ladies and gentlemen, you were specifically told and instructed, and I know we took a break since then, so maybe you forgot, okay? We don't do applause. We don't, you know, this is not a clown show. This is a public proceeding, so there'll be no applause, no comments while other people are speaking. Yes, sir, go ahead.
Yeah, my name is Robert Haug. I live on Avalon Road. Just wondering the traffic and everything, and yes, I am a transplant from Newcastle. But I've grown to like my neighbors, and everybody in that neighborhood is fine. It's the school districts are failing. The roads are failing. I don't think we have the infrastructure to put that many houses on that small of a lot, like a half acre per house. We've got Liberty going in down the road from there, another housing development. And it sounds like they're trying to combine all four properties into one. As the sign out front is 300 and some acres, then there's three other places on it, on the list of Lawson Road addresses. They're trying to shove it all into one. And I believe the creek that runs behind Avalon Road on the west side is a wetland there. So that's all I'd want to say, and just try to make sure that it goes in right.
All right, sir.
I thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. All right, who's next? Yes, ma'am.
Hi, my name is Susan Leone. I live on Avalon Road as well. I have a few questions. I wrote them down. Give me just a minute.
Okay.
I'm very concerned about the traffic entrance that you have proposed on Avalon Road. That's a tertiary road. It's tar and chip, which I only heard of when I moved down here. A very narrow road. When you have Lawson and Zor, why are you dumping half the traffic out on a skinny little road? One of my concerns. One of the things that looks like a preserved area of greenery is really the power lines. They have no choice but to leave that green. I think that they can kind of make amends somewhere else and give us a little bit more green. I'm concerned that there's not going to be a buffer on Avalon Road between the development and the road to give the residents who have been there for years and years some sort of remedy from the noise and the light and the sound that will be in this development. I'm concerned that when I had looked up that property for sale, it said that there were toxic areas on it. For instance, tire dumping, some sort of toxic waste, a problem with the pond and the water. I'd like to know if that's been remediated, who has done it, and has it been done properly. I'm concerned about all of the different poisons that are going to be in my aquifer. you now have 600 plus homes drawing from the same water. That is a big concern. Water down here, our homes are roughly several acres, each one going down the road. Now you've got 600 houses on a little piece of property. Water's got to be coming from somewhere. I'm concerned that it's going to drain it.
Well, it's going to be a central water system, ma'am, so it's not going to be individual wells. It'll be a central water system coming from
But the water's still coming from somewhere.
I guess, but anyway.
Let's see. Just real quickly, let me go over. Oh, police, fire, and emergency. They're already strained. What are you going to do with another, well, two people in the house, 647, what, 1,300 people are going to have to be drawing on that. And if anybody here has ever driven through Millsboro, because that's where everyone will shop because it's the closest place, you may as well bring lunch because it's going to take you that long to get through the town if we don't fix the infrastructure. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I just want to pause for a second. The lady mentioned the presence of what she referred to as toxic materials. Do you want to address that?
Absolutely. So we had a phase one environmental site assessment done on the property, and it showed, as what are called RECs, recognized environmental conditions, it showed the presence of tires on the site, which has been removed and remediated, and the only other sort, you know, quote, REC were the presence of the chicken houses. And historical agricultural uses, which we're actually currently undergoing a phase two environmental site assessment. All of that will, of course, be remediated at appropriate levels prior to any sort of development on the project. It's not anticipated, though, that we have sort of any environmental concerns with that. They just sort of, with any sort of existing agricultural use or historical agricultural use, they always identify that as a potential risk due to, you know, obviously the chemicals and the runoff from the animals. So.
All right. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Who's next? Yes, sir. Yeah.
How y'all doing this evening? My name's Steve Friend. I live on Avalon Road, and my main issue is with the road. You know, before they tarred and chipped that road, it was just a dirt road. That was Avalon Road. Then they tarred and chipped it. This past spring, DelDOT has probably spent 500 to 600, maybe even more than that, on tar and chipping that road. They come and tar it. They tarred it, they chipped it, they come back with some glue, then they chipped it again. And I mean, that road ain't gonna handle all that traffic. I'm not against a development. I was born and raised in Lewis, so I'm a native from here. But it's just where I got shoved out of Lewis, and I thought I found a place that I'm 72 years old, so I thought, well, I finally found a place where I can finally. It took every 8 to 10 minutes before we'd ever see a car. Now we see them every 3 or 4 minutes. That's how much the traffic has picked up. It's where you, infrastructure's got to be done first before you can do this kind of. When you put that 600, 700 houses in there, just think 2 cars to every house, average. That's 1,400 vehicles. You're going to put half on Lawson or out on Zor Road and then the other half on Avalon? It can't handle it. And then I'll guarantee you DelDOT will go ahead and at the Lawson and Avalon, they'll put a turnabout, okay? Then they'll go down the other end and put another turnabout. And it's just, we need to stop all this stuff. I'm telling you, we need to think things through before we go in and make these decisions. And I'm not against these guys building it, you know. People's got to move here from somewhere because population is going up. But we have to do it right. That's all. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. I do want to ask Mr. Seckler, if you would, in your discussions with the Department of Transportation and these, where are you in all that? I mean, are these entrance locations that you've proffered to DelDOT and you're waiting to hear from them, or is this where DelDOT wants these to be, and have they discussed about your responsibility for road improvements? Where are we in all
that? Yes, so we had conducted the TIS, and then we also have had a pre-submittal meeting to discuss. they'd like to take entrances off the lower classification roads. So Zor Road is the higher classification, which is why the two entrances are on Lawson and Avenue, or Lawson and Avalon, sorry about that. And yeah, the turn lanes, et cetera, and pretty much the locations on this plan have been pretty well thought out and discussed multiple times with DLDOT.
Are they requiring you to upgrade Avalon Road to any degree?
Avalon Road, yeah, our entire frontage, we are upgrading the road with widening, with shoulder widening, et cetera. And then Lawson Road, we're adding shoulders across the frontage. And also, and like I said earlier, we're improving Lawson from Zor to Avalon, the entire length.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Yep. Okay, who's next? I think you, sir, with your left hand in the air and the blue shirt.
Good afternoon. My name is Ed Givens, and I live on Route 30. And at one time, my grandfather, he owned from Zora Estates all the way down to Deep Branch. And I own this piece of pines right here. There's 30,000 loblolly pines in here. And my biggest concern is the drainage. In my life, short lifetime, I've seen this 5-acre field completely underneath water, 2 feet deep. And as you can see, Zor Estates, they have a stormwater pond that's at least 5 acres. I've seen it completely filled up and overflow into this section of loblolly pines that I have that are currently 32 years old. I'd hate to lose all of that income with this development being developed, and with the houses being developed, they're going to raise those lots up, and I feel that water is going to run off there and eventually flood this area here, this area all along through this border here of that butts up next to me. There's a ditch that runs across through the Raleigh farm. What's going to happen to that ditch that's on the property now?
No, you talk to me. I'll talk to them when it's time. You go ahead. Address your concern.
Like I'm with all the development that it's going to be in there and no storm water on the existing development, where's all that water going to go? Like I said, just in my lifetime, I've seen this 5-acre field completely underneath water. And I've also seen there's a 10-acre field up here completely underneath water. I've seen it twice. My grandfather saw it one other time, so three times.
Where's the water coming from that's going on your land? Is there a ditch that's next to it or something?
Well, there's a ditch in the back, but when there's a heavy rain, say a half century rain, it stands there. And I know the water table on this farm, 6 feet, you got water. I got a pitcher top pump in my front yard. Drove it by hand. And I live right over here. But this property here, I had it cut off in 1992. And there's a nice standing piece of pines. I'd hate to see it get flooded. Thank you.
All right, sir. Mr. Sackler, you want to come up and talk to us about stormwater and what the pre-development conditions are and what the post-development conditions you're proposing?
Yep. So, as some of you may know, or all of you, with the Conservation District in Denrec, we're required to model the existing and proposed conditions, with the post conditions having to meet or exceed preconditions. So, if those pines, I'll just, for instance, there's 10 cubic feet of water going towards the pines. When we design this entire site, we have to be better than that. So we have to be in 9-something CFS. So we have to improve the conditions out there, or we won't get approval to build it. So there are a couple ditches on site that he was referring to. Some of them will be filled in, but obviously the water will be relocated to other areas. to either infiltration or wet stormwater facilities.
Other areas on your site?
Other areas on our site, not off. So, and when we do the overall plan, there's analysis points of where the water leaves the site, and there could be on this site, there could be four or five, six different areas, and all of those are modeled for the 2, 10, and the 100-year storm events, and in all three events, we have to have less flow going to those analysis points for post conditions than what currently are today.
All right, sir. Thank you. Yep. Okay, anybody on this side? Take one from this side. Nobody over there? Well, there's one right there. Ma'am, come on up.
My name is Barbara Street, and my husband and I live east of the Raleigh development. We've been there 30 years. It was country. DelDOT didn't have to come and widen the road because it was just a country road, and I was actually happy not to see them make a big improvement. 646 homes. That's a lot. And I think it's a lot compared to Pine Lake and Avalon, where the homes have a lot more space and they have trees around them. When they put in the power lines, our property's like right next to them, and my brother and his wife both have cancer, and their homes were about as far from the power lines as our home is now. I'm not saying their cancer came from that, but when I saw the power lines, that's what I thought of. I want to say that we knew Mr. Rowley. He seemed like a pretty nice gentleman. And we know that he's passed away. And anyway, they did some tree work between the Rowley farm and our place. And they used a scarab fire, I believe it's called. Let me tell you, that thing screeched and yelled, and it was a horrible sound. And my husband believed that some of our trees were taken out as they were clearing some of that line out. I didn't have quite as fancy words to say as everybody else did. I would like to thank you for the privilege of being able to come before you and to be able to speak, but not every place will allow you to do that. Thank you so much.
You're certainly welcome. Okay, back over here. Yes, ma'am, you right up front.
My name's Tanya Buell, and I live on Lawson Road. Okay. My property butts right up against the farm, so it really does affect us. The traffic is horrible now. They fly up and down our roads, and it doesn't even have all those new houses all opened yet. I have grandchildren that live with me that catch the bus in front of my house, and it's terrifying for them to stand out there even because the way they fly. They wanted to say something too because they're really upset that the farm is going to be destroyed. We walk our dogs there. They like the water that's down there and all. So it's hard. And just the thought of that much more traffic. We go to the local church on the corner of Zor Road and we walk there. And even to do that anymore is it's risky. So it is scary. It's really scary of, you know, having the thought of all those houses taking over.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, who's next? Yes, sir, you're fine.
My name's Paul Leone. I live on Avalon Road. I'm concerned about how far up Avalon Road will be widened for access into this subdivision. What's the procedure about going about widening it? And will the people who live where this widening will be, will they lose their property in order for the widening of it?
Good question. And we'll find out.
My last question is, Avalon Road is filled with tax ditches, and they're essential because we need them. Will they be rerouting them, or will they? I'm just concerned that the loss of tax ditches is going to make the flooding even worse.
We'll find out. I can tell you that they can't fill them in. If they're public ditches, public tax ditches, they either have to remain or some other conveyance would have to be put in their place. But I'll let them address that for you here in a second.
So if I'm going to lose part of my property to a road widening, am I going to lose more property for a rerouting of a tax ditch?
We'll find out. There's probably sufficient right-of-way there, but we'll ask the question.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Mr. Seckler, tell us about the right-of-way and what the situation is there on Avalon.
So I'm not familiar with the right-of-way that he's referring to with the tax ditch, but typically most tax ditches in Sussex, Kent County, and Delaware, most of them have anywhere from about a 50 to 120-foot right-of-way already. I'm with them, but I don't foresee anything being realigned as far as swales, not on this property.
Right, and how about right-of-way for Avalon Road sufficient to do the improvements that DelDOT is imposing on you without having to get additional right-of-way from the residents? Do you know the answer to that?
The current right-of-way is not sufficient. However, the Raley property will be donating or transforming a right-of-way to DelDOT, and most probably where their road is on Avalon, the edge of pavement will remain the same, and most of the improvements will be shifted towards the subdivision to not impact the neighbors. That's not to say some may not be affected with the ultimate design. You never know with pipes or whatever. There may need to be some things happen on their property, but we try our best not to. And I don't foresee with looking at Avalon already why all the improvements cannot be
I don't think you can without their permission.
That's correct. That's what I'm saying. So I don't see Avalon Road with looking at a preliminary with DelDOT. Most of those improvements will be shifted, or all of them, towards the subdivision additional right-of-way is granted.
What you're saying is that the plan is that if additional property is required, it's going to come from your side of the road and not the other.
That is correct.
Okay.
Just to clarify that, so nobody is in here thinking there's going to be some sort of a taking. The only way we could ever use somebody's property for a DelDOT right-of-way is to get their consent and permission to do so. And pay them for it, correct. So if essentially what will happen is if the right-of-way is not sufficient, we try to pull everything onto our side of the property. If we can't do that, we go to the neighbors, and then we try to buy whatever piece of land we need. And then if we can't do that, then oftentimes we'll have to go back to DelDOT to try to get some sort of design deviation or
relief.
Yeah. Figure it out.
All right. Okay. Back on this side. Anybody over here? All the way in the back. Pink shirt. Come on up. And we'll be with y'all here in a second.
My name is Matt Dickens. I own the property on Avalon, on the north side of Avalon, directly across from the proposed development. Most of my concerns have largely already been covered, so I'm not going to go over those again.
Thanks.
But I do have some questions, I guess, and you probably can't quite answer this, on the DelDOT side of things.
Okay.
Jamie already touched on a couple of things, and maybe when I get done, he can kind of come up and go over them in case I've missed it. But
okay.
It's my understanding that they're only going to pave up until Avalon from Zor.
We'll find out. We'll go.
Long story short, if they don't repave all of Avalon and Lawson, it's a huge mistake. You can barely pass another car without running off the side of the road. And so based on their numbers, we would probably have 2,000 movements a day on Avalon if you split it between what's already being used there, which is like 500 or 600 movements a day. You split their numbers, we're at 2. I think Route 30 is around 4,000 movements a day. So you're talking half of the traffic on 30 across Avalon and Lawson, assuming 50% usage of that entrance. I mean, it just doesn't work.
Have you considered contacting your state representative and having a discussion with them about that situation?
I appreciate that advice. This is all new to me, so I'll take you.
Well, that might be something you want to do with this, with something like this pending. Of course, it hadn't been approved yet, so it's hardly pending, but I get that. I hear what you're saying. They're going to improve. They're going to be required to improve the area that's adjacent to their property. What happens to the rest of it?
Exactly.
And maybe a coordinated effort could be had. You know. So, all right. I'll get Mr. Seckler to come up and talk about the your Del Lot concern.
So, yes. So we hit on that already. But yeah, part of the TIS and the improvements are just to upgrade the frontage roads of Avalon, Lawson, and Zor, just along our frontage. And then as well as the offsite improvement, the intersection of Zor, Holly Mount, and Hollyville, or Harmon Hills, I'm sorry. So those are the improvements outlined in the TIS. But yeah, upgrading the entirety of Avalon is very costly, and that would be something we'd have to get DLDOT, et cetera, involved in. That's not part of our requirements per our TIS that was conducted.
Okay. All right, thanks. Back over here. Right up front.
My name is Mary Jo Johns, and I live on Simpler Branch Road. I'm about 0.7 miles from where this development's going to go in. And I'm concerned about the heavy equipment that's going to be going up and down these chip and tar roads. Even though my road's a chip and tar, and they are going to improve part of Lawson, but there is a part of Lawson Road that's a chip and tar road. And, you know, all these guys got GPS now, and they're just going to take the shortest route. So who's going to police these guys and make sure they're on, like, an Anderson Corners Road or Zor Road or Route 30. So that's my biggest concern.
Okay, thank you. Someone else, all the way in the back. Yes, sir.
My name's Keith Dowdy, and I live on Snow Road, which butts up against the property line because Zor 30 and Snow Road. Snow Road connects to 30, which connects to the property in discussion. So there's been a lot of discussion about the traffic. My question is specific to the construction period. The traffic and the construction entrances, most of the new developments look like they have separate construction entrances from where the final entrances will be. And I'd like to understand what the plan is for that and for the water runoff during the construction phase.
Okay, thank you. All right, I'm not sure which one of the two of you want to respond to this, but that's a fair question about construction traffic. The other thing that I think is implied in that, and you might need your attorney friend to help you with this, is folks are interested in the duration of construction, which with 646 housing units, what do you think the absorption rate is going to be, or what is a typical absorption rate? And so, you know, because the question that I think is in their mind, or at least in my mind, is, you know, how long will it take to build all this out? And that's one question. The other question is about where the construction, are the construction entrances going to be different from where the permanent entrances are at this point?
So the construction entrance one kind of easier. Typically, the construction entrance will be where one of the main entrances is to start for the first phase, or maybe even the first two phases. But then subsequently after that, they usually try and build from the back. So there will probably be another construction entrance later on in the development. Where, I don't know yet, as we get through design, because this is prelim, it hasn't really been thought out yet, but more than likely there will be a separate construction entrance, so traffic isn't running in front of the new homes.
And what efforts will you be undertaking to control stormwater runoff during construction?
Well, the Conservation District in Denrec has a whole list, laundry list of items, silt fence, matting, dust control, there's concrete, pour areas, there's pretty much everything's already included in all the details, et cetera, what they require. And there's also CCR inspectors and the county inspectors come out weekly to check the site for that said issues. So
okay, all right.
If I follow up, which entrance is going to be the main one, or the where you're going to start from? I guess.
I would say Lawson.
Yeah, in the front.
Lawson near the pond and the amenity area is the first one.
Okay.
As far as build out, obviously with a project of this size, it's a long time. You're talking a 10 plus year project for all the homes to be constructed. I think it's, if you assume maybe 50 homes a year constructed and built, you know, you can extrapolate on that 12 years. Probably before you get the first phase, so if you're fully approved, till you start building on the first phase, I would say would be between 8 to 12 months, and then you would start homes at that point in time. So I'd say depending on the construction of the phases, with a project this big, you're not going to go through and do all of the site work way out in front of you and just have lots sitting there that the cost is too high to just carry it for that long. So there will be, you know, construction for a fairly long period of time associated with this.
Okay, thank you. Okay, yes, no, you've already, not one trip to a customer, sorry. That's the rule, one trip. Somebody else? Anybody else? Okay, yes, sir.
My name's Larry Strauss, I'm from Pine Lake. I got a question, where's all the wildlife supposed to go? I sit on my back porch, I see 30, 40 deer out there. And I know there's two big flocks of turkeys that use that property, one off of Lawson I see, and there's one off of Avalon that I see.
My guess is they're going in that guy's pine woods. Be my guess is where they go.
And now are they gonna put a red light there in that Avalon and Zara? Because you can sit there a good 10 minutes, like 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon and try to get across.
All right, sir. Thank you. Okay, who's next? Going once. Going twice. Okay. Being no further comments, commissioners, any further questions, comments? Anyone?
No.
All right, then. Well, first, let me, before we close the public hearing, let me thank all of you for your extreme patience. We appreciate it. We know this is a very cumbersome way to do things, but it's the only way to do it and have the sunshine on it the way it should. We actually have a couple of more public hearings, so we're going to adjourn. And I'm going to ask you, or we're going to close the public hearing, and I'm going to ask you if you're not intending to remain, which I suspect most of you are not intending to remain, I would just ask that you leave this room quickly and quietly. I know the urge to get up, seems like we stand up and our mouth starts going right away. I don't know what it is. There's some kind of connection inside of us, but I'm going to ask you to fight it for me, if you would, because we have a lot of other business to attend to. So we'll close the public hearing. We will invite you to remain with us to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.